Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about, well, fishing and hunting and great outdoors and crabbing. And Chris Klaproth, our producer, we talk about him from time to time. Oh, that's not on the air, though. That's behind his back. Miss Robin ain't here, and you just got to deal with me today, unfortunately. But that's okay. We have some interesting topics to talk about. We have some open phone lines. If you'd like to give us a ring here at 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I got two cups of coffee here, one for each hour. One is in my brand new insulated Tervis with a stainless steel liner and a largemouth bass on the outside. A Guy Harvey largemouth bass, as given to me by our son-in-law and daughter-in-law for Father's Day. And I'm very grateful because it's a very nice coffee lasts a long time in this thing. I mean, like, all day. So, there we go. That'll get me rolling. So, maybe. Anyway, what a week, huh? Did you have a great Fourth, Chris? Yeah? Did you eat some barbecue and stuff?
Well, actually, I was here.
Yeah.
It was quiet.
Yeah.
And let me see. By the time I got home, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
On Thursday morning. So I didn't really eat a whole lot of, you know,
barbecue stuff.
Yeah, because otherwise it's like, you know, eat it with one hand and then wash it down with Pepto-Bismol in the other.
Yeah, that's no good.
No.
Actually, kids came over Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, and we had barbecue ribs. I had never barbecued ribs on the grill before.
Were they beef or pork ribs?
They're pork ribs.
Pork ribs?
Baby backs.
Okay.
They did two racks of them.
Okay. What'd you do to them?
Dry rub. Robin made up a dry rub of her own invention, and it was wonderful. Patted them down with that, wrapped them in foil, did them on charcoal, not on the gas. Could have done either way.
Yeah. Charcoal's the only way to go.
Oh, I don't know about that. Anyway, but did them off. You know, put the coals on one side.
Okay,
and did them. You know, off the heat, one on the rack above the coals and one beside the coals. And turned out pretty darn good. Pretty darn good. So, I mean, we have some commercial rubs we like. There's a local seasoning guy there in Cambridge Spice Company. We've kind of become buddies with Cecil Johnson, the owner. And we like his stuff. But there's others out there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do any with barbecue sauce on them on the grill.
Okay.
If you wanted to add barbecue sauce at the end, you could do that. But dry rubs, it was pretty darn good. Corn on the cob, you know,
mm-hmm.
ribs. What's wrong with that, man?
Exactly. Good 4th of July.
Yep, good 4th of July. Yep, absolutely. So Monday, Tuesday worked. Wednesday just vegged out after many, many days and many, many miles on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Vegged out on Wednesday, 4th. Back to work Thursday, Friday, today. So, yeah, here we are. That's what we do.
Yep. The weeks are going by real fast.
Yeah, that Crab Magazine came out, and we're getting that into the hands of all the crab dealers and restaurants and crab shacks and tackle shops and so forth. And, you know, kind of get the finger on the pulse of what's going on out there, and it's some places it's good and some places it's not. It all depends. I mean, there's Chester River crabs are big and beautiful and abundant, and then they're going out to, you know, the crab houses all across the state, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Seem to be enough crabs for the 4th. I mean, most people sold out, but some people didn't, just because they stocked up and had their supply of crabs ready to go. Soft crabs are a little quiet this year for some reason. They're not as abundant as they were. But, you know, if you shop around and want to pay the price for soft crabs, you can get them. some of the shedding houses are, you know, they're just sloughing them out and keeping them going. Let's see, crab meat. The lack of pickers in some of the picking houses has had a dent in the industry. Those who are able to pick, I think there are 8 or 9 picking houses in Maryland. Most of them are in Dorchester County. And I think 5 of them, maybe 6 now, have some pickers. Some of them have full crews, other ones don't. Or don't have any. But, one of the biggest ones who employs over 100 pickers, you know, put an ad out and said, we're looking for pickers. And they had 40 applicants for 100 spaces.
Wow.
You know, 10 interviews set up, and nobody wanted to work. No, I mean, they just couldn't hire any local people. What are you going to do?
Exactly. Well, what do they do?
Well,
under those circumstances.
You learn. Well, they don't sell pick. They don't sell crab meat. You know, I mean, they just don't have they don't buy the picking crabs, which are, you know, the light crabs, the white crabs, the junk crabs, the number twos, number threes, females.
Okay.
A lot of females get picked. They don't buy them. So the waterman has to find another market for his crabs or not go. If he doesn't have a place to sell them, why catch them?
Exactly.
You know? So most crabbers will find a market, but the quote easy market of just pulling into the picking house dock and, you know,
dropping them off
and sell. You know, they sell crabs in Maryland by the pound. I don't know if you knew that or not.
No.
Yeah, they don't.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, they sell them. I mean, they catch them by the bushel, but when they come into the picking houses, they're sold by the pound. So average bushel weighs are right around 40 pound. You know, we did something on this in the Crab Magazine a couple of years ago about the weights of what happens if you got a saturated, crab basket. How much does that increase the weight? All of it's figured in. You know, so, but roughly 40 pounds per bushel, somewhere in there. So that's how they're sold. And then, of course, you know, in a bushel of hard crabs, you're going to get maybe 3.5 to 4.5 pounds of meat. That's all you get out of a bushel of crabs, of actual edible, boneless, shellless meat, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, so. But there are a variety of crabs around the world, and a variety of crabs are picked and packed and packaged around the world. One of their sources is Venezuela. Another source is Southeast Asia, if you recall.
But they just don't have the same taste.
I guess if you put them in a crab cake with, the seasoning and stuff, you know, who's going to tell the difference?
Yeah, but if you want to have, like, crab salad...
Oh, I know, the jumbo lump. I get it, you know. And now we saw on the news on the Eastern Shore there, WBOC, 16 people have been stricken with Vibrio, and they take that back to Venezuelan crab meat.
Okay.
That's the constant factor in all these sicknesses. Vibrio, I've had a case of Vibrio food poisoning. From oysters. It is not a pleasant thing. It's very intestinal, very dramatic, and you don't want it.
No, doesn't sound good.
Nah, mm-mm. No. But, you know, it's a very fluid market, this crab business thing, you know. I know one restaurant that loves Venezuelan crab meat. Loves it. In the off season, you know, because of the cost, because of the taste, the customers like it. It's all good. But, you know, given the state of the political world right now in Venezuela,
stay away from it.
It just kind of sends up a little red flag to me, you know. So, But that's me. I'm a little leery about crab meat anyway. I mean, I like them alive and kicking when they go in the pot, you know. And, I mean, you know, there's all types of ways to. We did an article last year on this. You know, some crab houses used to spend a lot of ice, do a lot of ice to ice the crabs down to keep them quiet before they threw them in the pot to steam them. Okay, now they electrocute them. It's just a vat. It can be a plastic garbage can and a car battery. It's anything that and hooked to a light switch. You know, anything that can send a shock through the crabs to kill them, and then boom, right into the steamer. And that's the way you want to do it. I mean, you don't want your crabber steaming dead crabs that have been in the basket, you know, in the back of the truck, especially in this heat. And, you know, that's part of the life of being in the crab business. You got to get rid of the stills. What do you do with them? So, it's just basically a cuts into the profit, and it's part of the business. So, you know, they shock them, they ice them, and the main reason for that is to keep them from struggling in the pot when you put the steam on them, because they're still alive and they beat their own claws off, you know. So, you know, if you don't mind going home with a bag of one-armed clawless crabs and a bunch of crabs in the bottom of the bag, well, then, you know, you that's probably the best of the best.
But that saves you time of having to
pull the legs off. Yeah, I know, yeah. Hey, look, I got 14 arms and 6 crabs. 14 claws. But, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of things that go on behind the scenes. It's very interesting. You know, so, and being kind of I wouldn't say I'm in that business, but being on the periphery of the business and getting an occasional look behind the scenes and talking to people involved in the business. And you notice I'm not naming any names. You know, I'm not going out there and, you know.
No, I mean, you have to know in order to write the magazine.
Well, yeah, I mean, we do. So, but it's very interesting. Anyway, back to the picking situation. The way it worked, there's a visa that covers foreign national workers to come into this country and do non-agricultural jobs. And this is a lot of people. This is people in the landscaping business and others. And crab picking is considered non-agricultural. So 81,000 people applied for 33,000 visas, which took care of the last 6 months of the fiscal year 2018. Then there was another 33,000 visas issued, and, of course, there were still overwhelming applications, and those people got picked, and there was no relief for the crab-picking houses at that point. And then the administration authorized an emergency 15,000 more H-2, whatever they are, visas, and I think one more picking house in Maryland got a few pickers, and that was it. So, I mean, it was just 33 and 33 is 66, 76, 81, 81,000 visas were issued, but, you know, they were filled immediately, and the picking houses didn't get them. And what people don't know is that the picking houses, all of them for the most part, use a job service to do all the paperwork, make all the applications. They pay a firm, and it's the same firm, Universal through the picking houses, that you know, does all the paperwork and handles all the paperwork for all the foreign nationals that come in to pick crabs. So it's quite a process, and there's a lot of references in the Crab Magazine about that you can link to. Good morning, Paul in Ferndale. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm good. A little tired, but I'm good.
Yeah, I'm a little tired myself. We got a really late start this morning.
You did. Slept in a little, huh?
No, not really. My wheel bearings out on my trailer, and I had to figure out another way to do our work tonight.
Oh, boy, that's not good.
No. So, anyway, I was calling in because you were talking about the rig.
Yeah.
And a couple weeks ago, my wife did some baby back ribs in the smoker.
Yeah.
And she used a store-bought dry rub, but she put a honey glaze on them, and they came out really good.
That sounds really good. You know, Robin made fruit salad. And, you know, I like fruit salad, but she put strawberries, cherries, blueberries, cotton candy grapes, peaches, and pears, all fresh. And then, you know, there's no syrup or no juice with any of those things. So right. She made her dressing, her fruit salad, you know, liquid, with lemon juice, lime juice, and honey. Half and half lemon juice, half and half lime juice, and a fair amount of honey. Mix that all up. And I will tell you what, my dear wife made the absolute best fruit salad I have ever eaten.
It sure sounds good.
Ah! I mean, you know, the big ox heart cherries, whole blueberries, cotton candy grapes, fresh pears, fresh peaches, and a couple of apples, I think, were in there, too. I don't remember, but maybe she had apples in there. But anyway, And then, you know, she likes bananas in hers. I don't like bananas in mine necessarily. So, I mean, I like bananas, right. But not after what happens to them in a fruit salad. I don't like them. But, yeah, but, you know. You can slice a banana over top of it and eat it just like that. I'm fine with that. But absolutely spectacular. Kudos to Robin for her fruit salad this week.
That's awesome.
It is. Great. So anyway, well, I'm glad to hear about the honey glaze. That sounds wonderful. And she did them in a smoker, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
We bought an electric smoker. We've been using that.
Yeah.
Got it on sale.
Yeah.
One of the big stores. I'm
sure.
Not going to mention it.
Good.
But it still doesn't have the same, the taste is kind of there, but we used to do it in our, grill that had a side burner on it.
Side box, yeah.
Yep. Fire box on the side.
Yep.
They turn out really well in there also.
I have one of those. We just decided that we weren't going to buy a grill every other year. So,
right.
So we invested in the combo electric, combo gas, charcoal, and then with the side box smoker on it. And, hey, as long as you keep them cleaned out and covered up, you're going to be good for a while. So, yeah.
I've had mine. It's probably very similar to yours. I've had that probably 3 or 4 years now.
Yep.
I've replaced the cover.
Yep.
And I think I've replaced the things that go over top the gas burners.
Right.
They rusted out, and I think I've got stainless steel ones and put on it.
Yeah, that's probably better. Well, when the parts start to go, we'll start replacing it. But, you know, we use it fairly often. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So.
All right, brother.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Paul. All right, talk soon. Thanks.
All right.
All righty, bye. Bye-bye. There he goes. Crab and seafood lovers, are you ready for some good times? Well, the Spurry family, they've been in the seafood business on the Eastern Shore for over 35 years, specializing in local Maryland crabs and oysters in the famous Chesapeake Landing Restaurant right there in St. Michael's, Maryland. They're now bringing the best of the Eastern Shore across the bridge right here to Baltimore. Good times. Crab House, located 8001 Liberty Road, just 1 minute off Beltway Exit 18. That's if you're headed west. They're now open to serve you the freshest Maryland crabs, local oysters, fresh-picked crab meat, Gulf shrimp, a variety of fresh fish, and Alaskan snow crab legs. Ah, Robin's favorite. And Good Times Crab House and Crab Feast Catering specializes in on-site crab feast catering for your large events. They do them right there on site. Look for Good Times on Facebook for daily specials and weekend deals, or you can give them a call and get your own hot little steamed crabs right over there on Liberty Road, 443-657-7187. For Good Times and good crabs and seafood, it's Good Times. Crab House on Liberty Road, 443-657-7187. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
Hey, Chesapeake Outdoors, right down there on Kent Island. Just coming off the Bay Bridge, you're going to go to exit 39B Dominion Road, and you will see why Chesapeake Outdoors is first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers all the time. They have the Kent Island's largest selection of fishing and crabbing supplies. If you're going fishing, they've got rods and reels and tackle, of course, for Chesapeake Bay, tidal rivers, freshwater fishing, custom bucktails, parachutes, umbrellas, planer boards and lines if you're trolling, boxes of alewives and buckets of chum if you need any of that. And they specialize in those habanero custom baits with the, what do they call it? The special skirts, silicone skirts on there, that's for sure. They carry Yeti coolers and tumblers and the Costa sunglasses and the Bubba Blade knives and, well, for crabbing, they've got the live boxes, they've got the pots for off your dock, they've got the traps, the trot lines, the nets, the boots, the Grunden clothing, and if you need it, they got it. Hand lines and dip nets, too, if you want to go the unlicensed route, just take the kids, and, you know, little collapsible traps, too. They're all good. Chesapeake Outdoors, getting ready for hunting season here coming up pretty soon. We'll start talking to you about all their crossbows and bows that they carry. So it's Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East, 39B, Kent Island. Stop in, say hi to their friendly and knowledgeable staff at 410-604-2500 is the phone number, 410-604-2500. If you're looking for it, they got it.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Radio 680 WCBM.
Paladin, Paladin, where do you roam? Paladin, Paladin, far, far from have gun, will travel, reach the card of a man. A knight without armor in a savage land. His fast gun for hire heeds the calling wind. A soldier of fortune is the man called Paladin. Paladin, Paladin, where do you roam? Paladin, Paladin, far, far from home.
That's the way I feel every time I drive up here from Easton. Far, far from home. Like Paladin, just like Paladin. How about that? Oh, man. Crazy. Anyway, what were we talking about? We're talking about crabs and crab meat and crab picking and crab steaming and, you know. A lot of ways to fix them, that's for sure. I just like mine fixed with regular old crab seasoning, just, you know, nothing particularly fancy, nothing blackened, nothing, you know, less salt's always probably good for me. But I do like a medium seasoning on my crabs. How about you? Do you like heavy seasoning, medium seasoning? I mean, you like to get up to your armpits in it? What do you like with your crabs? We put a little bowl of vinegar, a little bowl of melted butter, and a little bowl of extra seasoning on the table. And we pick our crabs. We get a, you know, we pull out a leg. We get a leg lollipop. We like to dunk it in a little butter and a little seasoning. Or a little vinegar and a little seasoning. Or just vinegar or just butter. Whatever we want to do, you know. We just kind of make it up as we go along. We don't eat them all the same way. I'm getting hungry for crabs. But let's see. I know what Mark wants to talk about. I know what Mark wants to talk about. Yes, indeed. Is Mark ready to go? Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
You saw a little story in the news.
Yes. This is a report. It's not a real long article. It's from the July the 5th. Just happened from the Telegraph.
Mm-hmm. That's and a British paper, I believe, right?
What's that?
British paper.
Yeah. And this is a story that happened at the Sequoia Game Reserve in Kenton-on-Sea in South Africa.
South Africa, yep.
So what happened is at least three suspected... Now, I know you like poachers.
I love poachers.
At least three suspected poachers who were apparently hunting for rhinos have been mauled to death and eaten by lions on a game reserve in South Africa, the owner said on Thursday.
That breaks my heart.
The owner... Speaking of breaking a heart, the men entered the Sequoia Game Reserve on the southeast coast armed with a high-powered rifle and an axe in the early hours of Monday. And were found dismembered the following day.
Doggone it.
Quote, they strayed into a pride of lions. It's a big pride, so they didn't have too much time. Reserve owner Nick Fox, 60, told AFP news agency. We're not sure how many there were. There's not much left of them.
Not much left.
There seems to be clothing for three people. I've not heard of it before in our area. It's thought the lions killed three poachers. Police forensics officers were on the scene conducting tests of the remains of the victims, Mr. Fox added. Here it comes. We went in yesterday. I got our vet to dart, anesthetize all the lions, he said. I think we had a stroke of luck here, as the lions got to them before they got to the rhinos. We lost three rhinos in March 2016. Fewer than 25,000 rhinos remain in the wild in Africa. Now, I've got a brief musical accompaniment, if you're ready.
All right. Just had a big meal, poacher. I'm getting a little tired.
Now, is that a professional reporter or not?
That is Mark, I tell you what. Anytime you want a job as an unpaid professional reporter, you're certainly welcome to call in and sign on. I love
it. Terrific. I will put it on my resume.
The report was they found, what, three pairs of shoes, so they think there might have been three guys.
They can't be sure, but they think it was probably three. My favorite part is, I think we had a stroke of luck.
I think we had a stroke of luck.
Got to them before they got to the rhinos.
Yeah.
And their photographs of some lions, including some little cubs, they are just adorable.
Oh, I mean, sure.
Really. You hate to begrudge them dinner.
Exactly. Oh, I love that story. That's wonderful.
It's so the, it used to be the DNR, now Department of Agriculture, may consider with another solution to poaching problems.
Well, yes. It's not the DNR. It's still the DNR that handles the Natural Resources Police.
Okay.
Handle the poaching. I guess it's a danger that you take when you decide that you're going to go after, something when there's, what do they call them? Megafauna predators or something like that lurking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine the ringleader? Fellas, look, all we got to do is get past those 25 lions and get to that rhino, and we'll make a fortune getting that horn off of that rhino.
Yeah.
Yeah. All we have to do, here, hold my beer. Watch this.
Well, as he says, they strayed into a pride of lions.
They strayed.
Pride, so they didn't have too much time. Talk about ruining your day.
Yeah. What was that noise? Oh,
can you
crap.
Surrounded by a large pride of lions.
Large pride of lions.
This is not working out.
No, no. And one lion looked at the other and said, "This tastes like wildebeest or more like impala?" All right. Mark, thank you very much. You have a wonderful day.
Yeah,
you made mine.
Yeah.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
David in Kearney, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine. How about yourself?
Good. What's up?
Hey, did you get any word on the last fish kill? Did the Department of Environment ever figure anything out?
Yeah, they did. It was a natural cause. It's been a while. I'm not sure if it was a algae bloom or if it was something that caused a lack of oxygen. I can't remember. That could have led to this, this toxic algae. I'm pretty sure that's what it was, if I remember right. And, I don't have that reference material at my fingertips, but it was not a chemical, pollutant or anything like that, according to.
Oh, okay. That was my theory, because that was the time when farmers start putting herbicide down to kill the grasses so they can do the no-till.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that might have been part of it, the runoff.
Well, I don't know that that's as big a danger as you think. It's very possible, but I think more so there's a couple things that happen right after a thunderstorm. There's a situation that occurs where there's a lack of oxygen, and then also some of these algae blooms when the conditions are right for what they call the red tide or dead zone or something like that. And if that hits quickly, it can lead to fish kill. There was just a couple fish kills here lately.
The water temperature was still kind of cold.
Yeah, that's correct. You're absolutely right. But whatever it was a natural phenomenon. It wasn't anything.
Is that written up anywhere on a DNR website or anything?
It's probably on Maryland Department, MDE, Maryland Department of Environmental website. I think they're the people that handle the fish kills. And if you want to go on MDE and there is a fish kill site, and I think you'll probably find it there. Or Google gunpowder fish kill.
Okay.
And I'm sure there'll be some news stories.
All right. You have a great day.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call, Dave. There he goes. Dave in Kearney. Yeah, if anybody remembers that, I mean, I remember the pictures of the dead carp and everything else on that gunpowder. And we had some discussion on it. And I know we got some listeners that are out there that could fill us in on that a little bit better. But if I remember, it's a lot of water over the dam or under the bridge. Which is it, Chris? It's a lot of water over the dam or a lot of water under the bridge?
either one would work.
Well, in this case, it's both.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Since that time. And that's lovely. Yeah, that's lovely. Robin is sending me crab graphics. Uh-huh. So we are getting crabs tomorrow. Yes, we're getting crabs tomorrow.
I'll be there at noon.
Okay, good. Come on over.
Okay.
We'll have them about 4 o'clock after you're gone.
Fine. Be that way.
Oh, man. We're just having fun. That's all. Just having fun. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. If you'd like to call, we'd love to have your phone call. If you'd like to comment on crab meat, crab picking, how do you like your crabs? I mean, when you have a family crab feast and have people over for crabs, or you do them yourself, first of all, do you steam your own? Okay. And if you steam your own, you get the live crabs, and I'm assuming you just stack them in the steamer and throw the seasoning on them, you know, every layer of crabs, layer of seasoning, layer of crabs, ladies and say, do you use beer? Do you use vinegar? Do you use water? Do you steam corn on the cob on top of your crabs? What? You tell me. I was at a crab pot manufacturer the other day, and they make half bushel, bushel, and bushel and a half crab steamers, okay? They came up with a new crab steamer. It's the same height as a bushel and a half crab steamer, but it'll do 3.3 bushels of crabs at one time. That's for a big old crab feast if you want one, 3.3 bushels. How many burners do you have to put under that thing, though? You know,
lots.
It is? Yeah. one in the middle and one on each
end.
Well, it's round. So
yeah, but I mean,
you got to spread them out, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe four would work. Maybe three would work, depending on how you. Probably four. But you know what? It's all good. A little too big for my backyard. I'd go with probably the bushel one, you know, steam maybe 2 dozen crabs and a dozen ears of corn or something. Why not? Just throw the crab seasoning on top of everything. Let them go. What? Well,
you told me what was in your backyard. You've got a big backyard.
Not at the moment.
Yeah, okay.
Not at the moment.
Okay.
It's pretty full. There's a...
Well, once you get everything consolidated, you're going to have... You have a fair amount of property from what I can gather.
It's just a regular backyard in the neighborhood, you know. We have it jammed up right now with rat packs and stuff. But, anyway. All right. Come on, folks. Let's hear from you. I want to hear more. We have some good crab recipes in the Maryland Loves Crabs, too. They've got a crab panna cotta, and we've got a... I told him this last week, I think. We have a...
Yeah, I said something about looking at some really good recipes in there.
Yeah. Oh, did you have a chance to look at them?
I did look at them, yes.
Yeah.
I just have to get the crab meat in order to make them, but
yeah,
they were delicious looking.
Yeah, the Wellington.
Mm-hmm.
With all the raspberry, lemon, whatever that thing is. Oh, man, looks good to me. Anyway. Yep. And Richard, you know, his crab soup recipe looks spectacular. You know, if you're going to have, you know, 40, 50 people over, you could make his crab soup recipe.
Church
but
dinner.
But I love it. Huh?
Church dinner.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. So, yeah, I got to get him some magazines mailed out. So, unless he found them somewhere, he might have. I don't know. But I haven't even heard from him. But that's all right. Heard from John B. John B.'s picture's in there.
Okay.
So, and his daughter and his grandson. The little kid with the mallet, you know? Getting ready to whack a crab. Oh, my. Okay, what do we want to talk about next, folks? Well, let's see. I did say hunting season's right around the corner.
What do you
I?
Need to do in order to prep for it?
Well, you need to get a license. I'm pretty sure the licenses are online.
Okay, how long does that take?
to get your license? Well, mm-hmm. you go to the you go to your local dealer. It takes about 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
You've got to answer a couple of questions, mostly management questions to make sure you get Maryland migratory bird stamp. It's called, I can't remember, the HIP permit or something like that. Yeah. But they ask you how many ducks you shot, how many geese you shot, how many webless rails, coots, and gallinules you shot last year, or whatever that question is. And then, of course, if that's if you want to hunt waterfowl, then how many doves you shot and that type of thing. But you can also go online and do everything with a credit card online, which is what I've been doing the last few years. It's very simple. You get your DNR ID number or put your birth date in, and your whole file pops up, and you check the boxes and, you know, make sure you apply for a bear permit, you know, if you want to apply for a bear permit. So I think we're in our 18th year of bear season. So maybe not. Maybe 15 years. I don't know. I went in 5, 10, and 15, and 5 was the second year. So 2004, this is the 14th year, I guess.
Okay.
So, but, yeah.
Now, I have a question for you.
What's your question?
You know, every year, right before hunting season, we invariably get calls about, you know, people going out for the first time and so forth. For people who are just starting to get into this, what do you have to do if you're a newbie?
First step for a newbie is take a hunter education course, okay? You can do that online. You have to probably finish at a facility that offers the course, or you can take a course as well, in person. It takes about 10 hours to do that. You want to get familiar with handling a firearm. You want to make sure that you walk through the hunting scenarios, the shoot or no shoot, you know, trail walk, mm-hmm. How to carry a firearm safely, things like that. Because if, you know, even if you're hunting alone, you need to learn firearm safety rules. Now, if you're going to hunt with a bow, I strongly advocate the National Bow Hunter Education Course, which is offered a few places. I've taken that, and that's range estimation, safety, you know, that type of thing, shot placement and all that type of thing. It's a learning curve. You just don't get something and go out there and kill something. For first timers, we now have what's called an apprentice license, which means you take a shortened version of the Hunter Safety Education Course, but when you're afield, you must be with a licensed person to assist you, in the field and so forth. And that only lasts one season. And if you decide you want to pursue that, then you take the full-blown safety course and get your license. But the apprentice license is a try-before-you-buy program that works very well.
Okay.
A number of states have had it for a number of years, and Maryland just instituted it last year. So that's very good. It's an online course, and, you know, I'm not sure if there's a follow-up written exam or not. But education. I can't stress it enough. You know, and then going with an experienced person is probably far more beneficial. I've mentored my grandson. I've mentored Laura here the last couple of years, and I'm going to meet with Laura today. She's going to do a 3D shoot out in Frederick County, Frederick or Washington County, wherever Myersville is, and we're gonna meet there. And she said maybe someday I'll want to hunt on my own. She doesn't want to even hunt on her own yet. And this has been, we started hunting in 2012, something like that.
Okay, so 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, and she went through the Hunter Safety Education course and been in the stand with me most of the time. And waterfowl, deer, muzzleloader, bow. I was with her last year in the stand. She shot a nice buck with a bow. And, of course, she utilizes every bit of the meat as well. So she's, she's not in it for the trophy antlers or anything else, but she likes the meat, and she'll take a doe just as quickly as she'll take a buck, which is nice to know that, and Laura will be 40 this year, I think. I shouldn't have said that, but She'll be Jack Benny again. She'll be celebrating the anniversary of her Jack Benny birthday. First anniversary of that this July. And so she still doesn't. And she's bear hunted with me. She's waterfowl hunted with me. Same way with Jacob. He's now 18. You know, he comes and goes on his own now, and he doesn't hunt in the stand with me anymore. But I'll tell you what, I cherish those memories of hunting with Jacob and watching him take his first deer, his first buck, you know, and just been there with him. And he's been a very successful hunter. So we'll talk to Richard in Kingsville here in just a minute. Let's see. Oh, hey, look there. Yeah. Richard, good morning. How are you? Hello, Richard.
Hey, how you doing, Alan?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I just want to say you guys did a terrific job on putting that recipe in the magazine for the crab soup.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, the picture and everything. And if he's a good family, 8 to 10.
8 to 10? Yeah. It was a very spectacular recipe. I was very tickled with it. And, you know, we're going to try it. For two people, we're going to cut it down a little bit, though.
Well, two people, that's another story.
Yeah.
But if you got friends and family, you share it. And it's something you make, you know, once or twice a year.
Sure.
You share it.
Yeah. It's good. It's good stuff. Looks good. Smells good. Tastes good, I'm sure. I can't wait to
try it. I actually picked up the magazine, one of your sponsors, at Joppa.
Oh, good. Okay.
Parkville.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you got it up there. That's cool.
Yeah, we got her.
Yeah. Overall, did you like it?
Oh, yes. Great magazine. Plenty of great articles and pictures and all the recipes and all the crab information you need to know.
Yep. The seasons and the licensing and our little commentary, and then, you know, we did put an article in there about the shortage of the pickers and some other stuff.
Yes.
There's, you know, some Bay Report, you know, you can comment on, and there's just a variety of stuff. So.
And a lot of good seafood places also I wasn't aware of.
Oh, really? Oh, good.
There.
Yeah, well, we try. We put a lot of time in. And, you know, as many as you see in there, that's how many we visited that didn't work with us this year. So.
Yeah, I gotcha.
You know, it's amazing. So.
Well, when you're talking about steaming crabs, I usually use a light beer, you know, not a good expensive beer, a beer or two, a little bit of a well water, and a couple cups of, white vinegar.
There you go.
I let that roll, and then I use the, crab seasoning and sometimes a little bit of crab mustard powder. Well, not both, just, mustard powder.
Yeah.
Just a little, you know, a couple of handfuls, just a couple of scoops in there. And stack it up, and then also put sometimes potatoes, little potatoes.
Really? Potatoes
and the corn.
And the corn in crab soup.
No, I'm talking about steaming.
Oh, steaming them. I'm sorry. I apologize. Steaming them. Yeah, I got it.
Whoa.
Yeah, so corn and potatoes steamed in with the crab. That sounds wonderful. Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, and potatoes, sometimes I might put them in the microwave for a couple of minutes just to, you know, if they're, you know, nice size. And then cut them in half and I'll put them in layers and with the Old Bay and the corn.
Yeah. Well, that's good, man.
Let it roll.
Yeah, let it roll.
My pothole's about a good bushel.
A good bushel, yeah.
Nice stainless steel pot.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, my friend. Well, appreciate that. I'm glad you enjoy the magazine. Glad we can make your world-famous recipe even more world-famous.
Thank you so much.
All right. Say hello to your lady. Take care.
Okay, we'll do.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that's our crab soup guy. All right, well, let's see. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number is 410-242-6108. And guess what? They have a 24-hour fishing hotline. Tells you all the hot spots and all the bait. And it's 24/7 fish. 247 fish. That's right. Area code 410-247 fish for Clyde Sports Shop. If you need it for fishing, if you need bait, if you need tackle, rods, reels, rod and reel repair, new line, gunsmithing, licenses, all the services, all right there at Clyde Sports Shop. You need to stop by and say hello. If you haven't been in a while, stop by and say hi to the guys. They're more than glad to help you. And they got Maryland Loves Crabs right there, too. And everything for crabbing, all the
all the traps and the pots, and they even have their own steaming pots and their own recipe for crab seasoning as well. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, Lansdowne, just up Beltway Exit 9, phone 242-6108.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Boy, we were sweating it out over the 4th of July holiday, but now a chance to enjoy a drop to the temperatures. A rare summertime cold front has moved south of Baltimore, and we are enjoying it. Even cooler weather ahead for tonight. 79 degrees this afternoon, upper 50s tonight. I'm Scott Laurie, more at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
WCBM, Baltimore.